First reading is from Acts 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And whilst staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This is Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all saints, I do not cease to give you thanks for remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward those who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" It's a good question. It's a very valid question. It's a question that has not changed over the centuries. Today we celebrate Confirmation Sunday, which has a long Lutheran tradition. Some churches that are more than 100 years old will put their church confirmation pictures from all the way back. So that would be our equivalent if we put 50 years worth of confirmation pictures. And then some of the older members could say to their grandkids, that was me way back in the day when. We all have our own memories of confirmation classes. How many of you remember all of them memorizing? You guys got off so bloody light. We had to memorize a book that thick. All right, a little thinner than that. And then being questioned by the pastor, knowing that confirmation depended on it. Now, that's how I had it done, was by the pastor in class. Others have it in church. I'm not going to put you guys through that. I'm just going to make you sing A Mighty Fortress in Swahili. Family, it's been tradition that family from far and near come for confirmation Sunday. They all want to know the question, or the answer to the question, who am I? Who do you say that I am? And you know, it's not just a question that they asked back in the first century AD. By the way, that text took place in the temple. That's where Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? The Lord of the universe, the Lord to whom that temple had been built, is standing in his temple saying, who do people say that I am? And they hesitated. Even today, people don't know how to answer that question. There was an article in Christianity Today back in April 2010. A man named Gerald McDermott, don't know anything about him, but he walked the 40 miles from the city of Capernaum to Nazareth, and on his way he visited with Jews and Arabs, Christians and Muslims, and he asked them what they thought of the man from Galilee. Now, many of the Arabs believed that Jesus had walked on water, raised Lazarus from the dead. Mara, at age 23, was a college graduate, and a mother, too, believed in the virgin birth, but not that Jesus was God. He was only a great prophet. Another man, a Jewish religious leader in Jerusalem, stated that Jesus was a Jew, but his delusions proved he had a demon. Not much has changed in 2,000 years when people hear that question, who am I? One of the first questions in confirmation class, when we begin it, is I ask them, who am I, as far as who is Jesus, and have them define who Jesus is. And then it takes them 2 years to finally get the full answer and know all the little intricate details that go with it. You know, Christianity is one of the many religions of the world, but what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our equal God. To believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. To believe and accept justification by faith. And lastly, to imitate Jesus. Throughout the class, they also had to memorize various Bible passages or other passages that we read, like Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible presence of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were made. I know we read this verse just in the last couple of weeks from Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Or lastly, from 2 Corinthians 5:2, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In a book called Future Shock, Elbin Toffer, the author, explains how the modern world has changed so rapidly, how there's such a confusion over choice, but how we as human beings need stability. We need something stable in our lives, like regular habits, rituals, beliefs, a reference point that keeps us grounded. We need to have that grounding in something. And for us Christians, it's in the risen Jesus Christ. Because the world is throwing so many things at us. And by the way, I think today's kids face a lot more than my generation did, or perhaps the generation before me. I mean, genetic engineering, did we have that 30, 40 years ago? They're facing that today. Artificial life, or artificial intelligence. We ever think about that 30 years ago, artificial intelligence? Robots were scary stuff. Now, anyway, that's a whole different... Biomedicine, technology, nanotechnology. I hardly even know what that is. But it's outrunning our theology in some regards. Then, of course, we have the issues of abortion, genetic engineering, euthanasia, designer babies. Does the Bible speak about all these things? Not by name, but in general principles, yes. Or I think amazing is corrective surgery on infants who have not been born yet. We today live in a culture that says there is no truth. Like Pilate's great question when Jesus was before him at the trial, and Pilate looked at Jesus and says, "What is truth?" Satan's great lie is that one point of view is equal to all other points of view. And in our confirmation class, we talked about what it meant to be saved, that the salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. No matter how good a person is, how hard they try, it doesn't avail them nothing without faith in Jesus Christ. Several years ago, you probably remember the great book, The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown. If you're not familiar with the story, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of it. Blasphemous little book. But Jesus married Mary Magdalene in a secret ceremony. And on the cross, he found out that she was pregnant. So she gives birth to a daughter, and they have to flee to modern-day France. And all the French kings are descendants of the daughter of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, on Fox News, they have a commentator, a priest, Jonathan Morris. I actually like the guy. He's a well thought out individual. He's pretty down the middle. But he wrote this about that book. He says, "Dan Brown is capable of passing fiction for fact because Christians don't know their faith, what and why they believe in Jesus." And he says, that's not Dan Brown's faith. I remember when that book came out, I got questions. Is this true? Well, what's the Bible have to say? Well, Pastor, that's what you're for. No. Well, yes, in a way, but no. You should know this. No, the Bible doesn't say anything as heretical as that. And by the way, guys, confirmation is not graduation from education in the faith. You continually go to church to have your faith built up. You go to Bible study to have your faith built up. You don't just throw out everything you memorized. All right? What you memorize is what you hold on to. When life gets the hardest, that's when you hold on to that. When you have good times in life, that's what you hold on to. And over the past 2 years, they actually, both classes, first and second year, asked many good questions. A couple of them, I went, "Hi, Faye. That's Pastor Dane for, I can't believe you just said that." All right, but they asked many good questions, and several times I'd see that light bulb go on in their heads. Like, suddenly they finally got it. After months of going over something, finally they got it. And the curriculum that I use to teach them, it uses pictures to teach the lessons. Long explanation, but it uses pictures to teach lessons. What we did is we went through an overview of the Bible first and then plugged in where the six parts of the catechism fit in to the Bible chronologically. That way they had an understanding that they weren't just separate parts of the Bible and didn't necessarily fit. Plus, it gave them a basic biblical knowledge. Did you have enough memory work, guys? Derek says no. You wanted more? Well, Derek, considering how well you did on your memory work, I can believe you could have done it. All right. And then each week we would run through the memory work, just hit the highlights. But I was hammering it home to them because I want them to make that part of who they are, part of the foundation of their understanding of what faith is. My confirmation verse was Romans 1:16. "I am not ashamed of this good news about Jesus. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." I don't know if the pastor chose that because he kind of knew me better than I knew myself at the time, but I'm kind of one of those people that will fight for what I believe is right. You know, in this world, in today's culture, God is still seeking to contact those in the world that belong to the world's culture. He's reaching out to them. God is still at work at the hearts of those who don't believe in him. He's still knocking on the door, trying to get in. We're the vessels that he uses to communicate that gospel message to them. The disciples understood that they had been reconciled, made right with God through the death of Christ on the cross. Now, how can the unchurched be reached? Well, we send people out to them. How can they know if somebody doesn't go? Well, guess what? I'm just sending three more. So you get to join the ranks of all those before who share the gospel message, and I'm sure you have done it over the years in your own way. But I'm sending you confirmands in the world to tell others. Your parents encouraged you. Your grandparents encouraged and worked with you. They worked with you in the study of God's word so that someday you might be able to look at a picture of your confirmation day, all right, and tell your grandchildren, that was me back in the day. And let me tell you how rough Pastor Dane was on us. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.
And the congregation says these words along with the confirmants. Beloved of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You have been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith according to the Lord's bidding. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you at your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all of his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all of his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Our names will come to God, the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God?
I do.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from scriptures, as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
We rejoice with thankful heart that you have been baptized and have received the teachings of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and have been absolved from your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun this good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christian, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you of all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. The passage I chose for you today was from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard Guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Direct the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Derek, I chose for you Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ.
Derek, I wanted to give you this Bible verse in German. Ich dachte, wenn er achte, es noch alles für Schaden gegenüber der überschwänglichen Erkenntnis Christi Jesus, meines Herrn, und um seinen Willen ist mir alle sein Schaden geworden, und ich erachte es für Dreck, damit ich Christus gewinne. And I might just quick want to tell you, your father still remembers his verse from 40 years ago, and it was, ob ich schon wandere im finsteren Tal, fürchte ich kein Unglück, denn du bist bei mir, dein Stecken und Stab trösten mich. And that was Psalm 23:4.
Jesus, the mighty God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new earth, water, and spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthening you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Jesus, I chose for you Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness, bringing each your son and daughter to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess the saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious, the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, the water of holy baptism, you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them with his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with the faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan, and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from the sacrament to love you and their neighbor, and to bear their cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Father, would you like many of your forefathers have said them from German? Father, would you like given? Geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel, so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Führe uns nicht in Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Bösen.